Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Thank you to the band. Friends, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We now come to the preaching of God's word, and we worship now Him in song by praying His word. But now I want us to turn our attention to the reading and the preaching of God's word. But maybe also to say once again, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the building this morning, and a Happy Youth Day to the young people. As I was thinking about my text for this morning, I wrestled a bit and I thought, how could I use God's word today to encourage us, but to also address the fathers and the young people in our midst? I couldn't but help and think about the passage in Colossians chapter 3 where Paul addresses the family. And in the text this morning, we will see God addressing the family. He'll address the fathers, He'll address the mothers, He'll even address the children on how they are to live godly lives. My prayer for us is that we would be encouraged as we hear God's word. My prayer for those who are unbelievers this morning is that you would hear that you are not a part of God's family. You are alienated from God. You are a child of wrath. And if you do not believe in Christ, God will judge you. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. My prayer for you is that you would hear the gospel truth that if you believe in Jesus, if you accept Him, you will have the right to be called children of God. But in order to achieve all of that, it is right and fitting that we bow once more to Almighty God as we pray that He blesses the preaching of His word. So won't you join me now as we pray? Heavenly Father, You are good and You are perfect. And we thank You for Your word that You have given us. I pray now, God, that as Your word goes forth, that You would give me the power and the ability to proclaim it in all of its truth and beauty. Father, Your law is perfect, reviving the soul. Your testimony is sure, making wise the simple. Your precepts are right, rejoicing the heart. Your commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. We pray this morning that You would help us by Your word and by Your spirit to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Encourage us this morning, we pray, and help us to live lives that bring praise and glory to Your name. And this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn with me in your copy of God's word to Colossians chapter 3, and I'll be reading from verse 18 to 21. Even before we read God's word, let me tell you what the big idea for this sermon is. Christian families must reflect the order and design of God to the glory of God. Christian families must reflect the order and the design of God to the glory of God. We will see that there are three ways that this can be achieved. Way number one is by compliant wives. Number two, compassionate husbands. And then we'll consider our third point, controlled children. I trust you have found your place in God's word. Colossians chapter 3, reading from the 18th verse through to the 21st verse, hear God's word. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Only so far in the reading of God's word. The family is God's design. The family consists of a father, a mother, and children, and how they are to live and relate to one another is given in God's word. God created man, and he created marriage and the family. It is his design, and he has ordered it that way. In Genesis, we read of the first man, Adam. He was created by God, and for a time, he was alone. And then God saw that it was not good for a man to be alone. Amen. He then created a helper for him, the first woman, Eve, and we see the first marriage. God then gives the instruction that a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Well, it wasn't long until this family was corrupted. You see, Eve would go on to be tempted by Satan, which would lead to Adam's disobedience and the fall of man. Sin entered the world through Adam, and death through sin, and death has spread to all man. Genesis 3 reveals the curse for the disobedience of man. And as the story of redemption unfolds, we witness the dire consequences of sin, particularly with regards to the family. Today, we witness the effects of sin on families. The world is pushing back on God's design for the family. They are pushing back on God's design for marriage and how children are to be brought up. The feminism movement also challenges the design and God-given roles of men and women within the marriage covenant. The words submission and headship are being omitted from vocabulary, and the truth of God's word is being watered down. This cannot be right. God designed the family, and God orders the family. Christian families must reflect the order and the design of God to the glory of God. Like I stated earlier, my outline this morning is only 3 points. And the first one is compliant wives, the second one is compassionate husbands, and the third one is controlled children. Let us consider our first point this morning, compliant wives. Let me read the text for us so that it's close to mind once more. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord." Let me summarize this text for us. It says, Christian wives must display obedience to the Lord by being subject to their own husbands. Christian wives must display obedience to the Lord by being subject to their own husbands. A commentator says, when a woman submits to the loving leadership of her husband and follows God's intention for her, she is fulfilled, and so is the husband. Now, from the onset, you'll be aware that the simple truth declared in this text is often rejected and challenged in our society today. Many have attempted to say that the interpretation and application of this verse is not the simple sense that it is conveying. However, we see this teaching and commandment appear time and time again in the scriptures. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says this, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." Titus 2 verse 5 instructs women to be self-controlled, to be pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. The Bible is clear on how wives are to relate to their own husbands, and it is this: Christian wives must display obedience to the Lord by being subject to their own husbands. Friends, it is also important to note that the Bible does not suggest that husbands are perfect and sinless, but God's word commands and instructs that wives submit to them. Wives. A wife is any woman who is married to a man. The Bible recognizes wives as a woman who is married to a man. These women are to submit to their own husbands. Notice that they are to submit to their own husband and not some unfamiliar authority or any other man. The word submit in our text has the connotation of putting oneself under, not by compulsion, but willingly. It is going under one so as to follow their lead and direction. The word is also in the present tense, which means that every moment of every day, the wife is to be in submission to her husband. It's in the middle voice, which means that it's the wife's responsibility to assume this submission. Her husband cannot impose this upon her. She must willingly choose to be submissive. But finally, we see that this word is in the imperative mood, which means that this is a commandment and not a suggestion or an option. And the reason for this submission is that it is fitting in the Lord. This means that is how God has designed for it to be. This is God's design, and it is for our good and for his glory. It trumps culture, society, and man-made rules. Your submission as a wife is primarily unto the Lord and not unto your husband. The motivating factor must be that you want to please your God and your Savior. Christian wives must display obedience to the Lord by being subject to their own husbands. Now, it is right that we apply this text this morning at Central Baptist Church. It has many implications and many questions rise up from this text. But how does this text inform and transform our lives today? I'll start with the young ladies. Ladies, be cautious who you say yes to. As you pray about your future husband and as you consider your potential suitors, be sure to use God's word as your guide and your community to help you in discerning if you are making the right choice. Who you marry has great implications because we see that you will need to submit to the one you marry. Look for a godly man who fears the Lord and loves him. Young men, godly women are looking for godly men. Your character and manner of life speaks before you even utter a single word. Watch your life and your doctrine if you desire to one day marry and have someone submit to you. Wives. Well, this text is primarily written for wives. And my challenge to you from God's word this morning is this: consider if you have been putting yourself under, not by compulsion, but willingly, your husband's lead and direction. But remember, you cannot do this on your own strength. So depend on God and His Spirit to empower you and enable you. Husbands, your wives are to follow you as you follow God, who is your head and your authority. May your life reflect the righteousness and godliness of God as you lead your wife in the ways of God. Christian families must reflect the order and design of God to the glory of God. Our first point this morning was compliant wives, seen in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Our second point is compassionate husbands, and that's verse 19. I'll read it once more for us. It says this: husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Christian husbands must display obedience to the Lord by sacrificially loving their wives. The command for wives to submit is closely followed by a command for their husbands to love them. Husbands, these are men who are married to one woman. These men are to love their wives. Now, the word love is often used and thrown callously around in our day and age. In fact, a young man will see a young woman that he is attracted to, and immediately he will declare his undying love for her, because he feels lots of butterflies and his heart skips a beat when he sees her. But is that true love? Is that love? In our text this morning, we see that the word love is the Greek word for agape. This is a willing love, not the love of passion or emotion, but the love of choice, a covenant kind of love. It is in the present continuous tense, which means that husbands must love their wives every minute of every day. Again, it is in the imperative mood, which means that this is a commandment and it is not a suggestion. God charges husbands to love their wives whether they feel like it or not. It is important to note that God has ordered and designed that in a marriage covenant, submission and love are to work in the same context. A commentator says this, quote, "God designed that a wife's submission operate within a context of love. In that way, she is protected because a man who truly loves his wife would never force her to submit to something humiliating, degrading, or that violates her conscience. The godly husband loves his wife like Christ loves the church." Husbands, the call on your life is to lay down your life for your wife. This isn't some kind of touchy-feely love. This is covenantal love. The command doesn't stop there. God, through the Apostle Paul, says, "Do not be harsh with them." And this can also be translated as, "Do not have the habit of being bitter." This is really significant because Paul is writing to a context that demeaned women and did not treat them right. Husbands would often use their physical strength and masculinity to deal harshly with their wives and threaten them, even be violent with them. To this context, Paul writes, he says, "Do not be harsh with your wives." He says, "You ought to love her, treasure her, and esteem her." This sounds familiar to another passage of Scripture. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 29 says this. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. The call on Christian husbands is that they follow the example of Christ's love. Jesus died for the church, and husbands are to love their wives in like manner. This is not hyperbole, but that is the standard that God sets for husbands. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. How do we apply this today? Again, young ladies, though you cannot know if a man will one day love you the way they're supposed to, but you can see the way in which he deals with others. Watch the temperament and the anger of those who pursue you. Young men, the standard is high, and the only way you can try to even reach it is if you devote your life to knowing God and to walking with him all the days of your life. Devote yourself to the things that will grow you. Join a Bible study group. Be discipled, serve in a ministry here at Central, and fellowship with those who are growing in their faith. Mature saints, how does this apply to you? Well, mature saints disciple the young in faith. Let the mature ladies disciple the young ladies and teach them to observe what is written in the Word of God. And let the mature men disciple young men so that they can have someone to guide them and walk the Christian life with them. At the beginning of this month, we established the Adopt a Youth campaign, where a family is assigned to a young person. And our encouragement was that you would pray with them and give them some sort of spiritual input in this month. But my challenge would be that it goes beyond just this month. Keep loving the young people. Keep checking up on the young people. Keep discipling and praying for the young people. Christian families must reflect the order and the design of God to the glory of God. Our first point this morning was compliant wives. We've just considered compassionate husbands, and now we will move to our third and our final point, controlled children. Read the Colossians 3, 20 to 21 with me once more. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Christian children must display obedience to the Lord by being obedient to their parents, and fathers must not provoke their children. Who are the children in this text? Well, any child still living in the home and under parental guidance is who Paul has in mind and is addressing in this text. They are to obey their parents in everything. This word obey is again in the present continuous tense, and it is in the imperative mood, which means that children must obey their parents at all times. They are to obey their fathers and mothers the first time of asking at all times. God commands it, and he designed it in that way. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord, your God, is giving you. The word obey has the idea of listening under, which means that children must listen and do that which their parents ask of them. Their parents are are over them and they're their authority. Therefore, children must be subservient to their parents and listen to them. Parents have the final say. And children must respect and adhere to it. Again, this obedience is required from children because it pleases the Lord. It is right. That is how God has designed it and ordered it. Parents are responsible for their children and they are accountable for them, and so they have the authority over their children. Verse 21 of Colossians 3 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Fathers, the male parents, are to not provoke their children. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, realizes that with the immense authority that fathers have been given, there is a danger of them being heavy-handed and demanding too much and being too strict. Fathers may use the authority that they have to provoke their children. And the caution is that they do not abuse their authority to irritate and anger their children. The reason given is that their children would not be discouraged. A child becomes discouraged when a father has been so strict, so demanding, so domineering, so harsh, lacking in love, that their children lose heart. Children who never get rewarded for doing right, but who are constantly put down for their errors, who never enjoy fun time with their father, who can never live up to his unrealistic expectations, lose heart and become discouraged. Paul is saying, inasmuch as you have authority over your children, be careful to not be that kind of parent. Christian children must display obedience to the Lord by being obedient to their parents, and fathers must not provoke their children. How does this apply to us at Central Baptist again this morning? Well, I'll start with the Central children. Most of them are at the back there. Central kids, listen to mommy and daddy at the first time of asking. Because if you do not, you might receive a spanking. What about parents? Parents, teach obedience to your children and require it and administer discipline when it is required. Explain to them what is right and explain to them what is wrong while showing them and teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Older children, respect your parents and listen to their instructions. Follow the advice that they give you and love them. There will come a day when you leave home and you will leave and you will have your own home, but until then, give them their due respect. Fathers, lead your homes in a godly manner, knowing your wives and building good relationships with your children. Teach your children, discipline your children, sing with your children, pray with them, read with them, laugh with them, play with them, even go on dates with them, and show them the Christ-like love as you show them the gospel of Jesus. Christian families must reflect the order and the design of God to the glory of God. They do this by being compliant wives, compassionate husbands, and controlled children. Friends, these are hard commandments, but our encouragement is that there's someone who kept these commandments perfectly. We were all at one point alienated from the family of God. And some of us this morning are still alienated because we haven't believed in Jesus Christ. We were foreigners and strangers to God's family. We lived in a family where Satan was our father. We rebelled against God and we lived in sin, and because of that, we were headed straight to hell. However, the submission, the love, and the obedience that God requires from wives, husbands, and children are the same qualities that Jesus displayed when he adopted us into his family. Jesus Christ humbled himself and he submitted to the Father by condescending and coming to live with mankind. Jesus then displayed his love for us by dying on the cross for our sins. In his death, he displayed his obedience to the Father by bearing on himself the full wrath of God for sinners like you and I. If you are a believer, remember that Jesus, your Savior, exemplified these things that he commands of you, and that by his Holy Spirit, he empowers us to obey his commandments. If you're an unbeliever in the room this morning, the call on your life is to turn away from your sin. You are a sinner and you stand condemned. When you die, you will face the full wrath and judgment of God because you are not a part of the household of God. However, there is good news on offer for you today. Jesus Christ died and rose again for sinners like you, so that if you believe in his name and you bow your knee before him as Lord and Savior, you might be given the right to be called children of God. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, even as we read your word, we realize just how dependent we are for you to transform us to obey your word. We pray, God, that you would help us to not only hear your word, but to obey it and apply it in our lives. I thank you, God, that your word speaks for itself, that it is sufficient. And I pray, Father God, that you would use your word by your Holy Spirit to transform us from one degree of glory to another as we seek to glorify you in all that we do. And these things we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.